All right. Well, good morning. It's great to worship with you this morning. My name is Aaron. I'm one of the pastors here as well. Just wanted to welcome all of you, whether this is your first time or you've been here for 20 years. It is great to be together. What we're going to do next in our service is something that we've done a handful of times just in recent weeks. We're going to have another ministry spotlight. And that's where we shine the spotlight on some ministry that is happening within our church, just so that we can all understand what God is doing in various areas of our church. And especially at the start of the fall, the start of the school year here, we are shining the spotlight on a handful of student ministries that we have at some of you. And this morning, that will be on our international student ministry. And so I'd like to invite up Qingyu and the crew here. And so why don't you guys come on up? Where are you? There's Qingyu. And Qingyu is actually on staff here at some of you. Some of you part-time with a missions organization. And so he tries to love the nations and international students that are right here and around the world. And so I'm going to hand it over to Qingyu.
Yeah, so ISF work with actually other groups like the Mission Portal and also the Bridges Internationals. Mm-hmm. And so I was biking to CSU, and I came across ISM written on the floor. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. So actually, I stop and look. It's Go Rams! Exclamation mark. So you read backward. It's almost like ISM. Mm. So ISM and CSU are linked hand together.
Okay.
I was an international student and graduated in 1984. And we went to Hong Kong in 1986 to plant a church. And because a lot of people are from Hong Kong, they're international students. And 2018, there's a team from Summitview Church to support the work in Hong Kong. And now there's a missionary in Hong Kong, kind of fueling the young people ministry. And so I'm honored to be here. In 2011, Susan and I moved to Fort Collins so that we can work with Mr. Ritter. He started ISM here. And so we're just following your step. And it was started in 1955, right?
That's right. Yes, 56. Yeah.
So Nara and Joshua is supposed to be here, and April is going to share with you. And it's Joshua here. You can pass it back to me. Is that all right? Yeah.
So the portion that I take in charge of is just like telling you the like meaning of the ISMDA. So you can see their international student making disciples of all nations. So we're trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ like among those international students at CSU. And I also belongs to Navigator, which is also a campus ministry in South Korea. So I'm kind of familiar with this discipleship and, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ and making others also disciples. So that's why I joined this group. And, I'm really enjoying, having a fellowship with them.
So I'm Joshua. I'm also from Hong Kong. I'm a lecturer in CSU. And so we have kind of six prayer and hope in our group, and is to have everyone. Actually, that was spring out from our retreat. So you know, see a picture. That's our retreat. We do an annual retreat, and we want to see international have intimacy with God, and we want to see more nations represented, and we want to see workers in the harvest field. That's what Jesus asks us to pray to Him, the Lord of Harvest, and also missionaries sent overseas. And in one season, actually, we have a lot of potential missionary pass through, and they've been going overseas and different locations. And we want to help students to go home well. It is going home is very difficult. It's like leaving your college campus community. And also, we want to partner together. So we are working as a team. We partner together to make disciples. We encourage people to go not alone, but as a partner. So I'm going to pass to April. She's from China.
Yeah, I am April from China. you already introduced. Yeah, I love ISMDA because we can reach so many nations here. We have social event for non-Christian friends, just like our Friday volleyball and English corner. And we also have spiritual events like our Sunday potluck and Bible discussion for gospel seekers. I would love to talk with you if you have an international friend to invite or you want to join us to scatter seeds to the nations. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. I guess I don't need that. So they are doing a great work. And again, talk to any of them. If you want to understand any involvement that you might have, whether it's supporting in a small way or a larger, we really appreciate what they're doing there. Next, I want to pass on one other quick announcement, something that's coming up this coming Saturday. And I wanted to tell you about our first parenting refresh of the year. And this is something that we're going to do several times throughout the year. There are going to be 5 different Saturday mornings that we're going to take throughout this school year. And we're going to come together from 9 to 11:30 on Saturday morning, starting this Saturday morning. We'll just be out here in the lobby, and we're going to talk about parenting. And so we're inviting all parents to join us. We're going to cover a number of topics over the year related to parenting, and we think this will be very pertinent to those of you that are parents. Again, parents of all ages, whether you have little kids, maybe you're expecting your first, all the way up through teenagers, perhaps even beyond. Really, any parent that wants to love their kids well, we want to be refreshed in the principles that God gives us. We also want to provide an opportunity where parents of various stages in their parenting can come together and rub shoulders and glean from each other. Sometimes parents can find themselves only having access to perhaps parents their same age that are in the same place they are in their parenting. We want to broaden that and create connections across the stages of parenting. So I'd love for you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. There's a registration link. There's the QR code there, but you can also go to our events page and register. We will have childcare also, so you can bring your kids, but just register them so that we know they're coming. But I think it's going to be a fantastic time. This week, we're just going to talk mainly about leading our children into patterns of seeking God. It's probably the foundational pursuit is just seeking God. And so we want to teach our kids to do that through the word, through prayer, through the church. And so we're going to have some discussions about that. So please join us. All right. Well, next we are going to release our kids. And so we have kids ministry during our sermon for ages 0 to 12. And so you are welcome to go back to your classes now, kids. And if you're new and are a little unsure about how things work here, you can ask questions back there right underneath the Summit View Kids sign. They'll point you where you need to go. You can, of course, keep your kids in the sermon with you if you'd like, but we do have some great kids ministry back there. So let's pause for a moment right now and let our kids get back there, and I'll be right back up with our sermon. Okay, well, I am going to start out by reading a passage for us, just a short passage, 3 verses out of Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. But before I do that, let me set a little bit of the stage, what's happening here in the early chapters of the book of Acts. So Jesus had died, but of course he had been resurrected 3 days later. He came back to life. And as is recorded in Acts chapter 1, he appeared to his disciples and to others over a period of 40 days and teaching them about the kingdom and commissioning them. And after 40 days, he ascended back into heaven, again, Acts chapter 1. And he left this small fledgling group of followers. as he ascended. But he empowered those followers, and the Holy Spirit was sent, and they were filled with God's Spirit, and they began to speak. And this little group of followers began to grow, and it began to grow pretty explosively. But in Acts chapter 4, we read about really the first significant opposition that this early church came up against. And in fact, the apostles were arrested because the authorities were a little nervous about this movement that was happening, and because it was so big and it was happening so fast, and so they were nervous, so they arrested all the apostles, put them in jail for a night, and then took them out and basically put them on trial. But they couldn't really convict, especially because they were scared of the crowds, because the crowds were on the apostles' side for the most part. And so they let them go after threatening them. And after they are let go, we read of a prayer that these early believers prayed. And so let me read it. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." So they were encountering opposition, and so they prayed. And when they prayed, God's Spirit filled them. And when God's Spirit filled them, they spoke, and they spoke boldly. So we see the process. They prayed, and then God filled and animated them. And when God animated them, they spoke courageously. And that's true of us as well. As we pray and as God fills and animates us, we also feel compelled to speak on his behalf and to do it courageously. And that's much of what we're going to talk about this morning, among some other things. Before we get into that, I want to give us a quick recap. So we are in the fourth week of a five-week series that we're calling Plentiful. And it's from Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into those harvest fields. And so we're taking 5 weeks to talk about that plentiful harvest and the sending of laborers. Really, we're talking about what the Bible calls evangelism. And it's about speaking this message to the world. And so here's where we've been. First, we've really been trying to lodge three phrases into our minds, and these are those three phrases. The soil is softening, the seed is powerful, therefore sow seeds. And so in week one, Travis talked about that first statement, the soil is softening. And he talked about what seems to be a turning tide. You know, when we talk about soil, what we're talking about is human hearts. And the human hearts within a culture, a people. And it seems like the hearts of people in our Western world are softening, are becoming more open to spiritual things. So I could share some other numbers. I'll share some quick numbers. And these are from the United Kingdom. So this is not here, right here in Colorado or in America, but I think what's happening in the UK, it's kind of this bellwether. It sort of represents a lot of what may be happening or will be happening in the Western world. And here's what we've seen just in recent years in the United Kingdom, and this is church going among young people. So among 18 to 24-year-olds in the United Kingdom, church going has increased from 4%, obviously it was very small, in 2018, and then just in 6 years, it quadrupled. It quadrupled in Britain. And to dig into that a little bit more, you could even take a closer look at what's happening specifically among young men. And young men, 18 to 24-year-olds, have grown even more significantly. Church going is growing among women as well, young women, but especially among young men. In just 6 years, that number multiplied by more than five times. And If young men in Great Britain, which has historically been a very secular place, are coming to church in droves, that's significant. And probably means it's happening elsewhere, or at least will be. And I think it is. And I think it's happening right here as well. And I could describe, even through more anecdote, just what we've experienced here, that I believe that is true. True right here, right in Fort Collins at Summit View Church. There has been a noticeable uptick in the last 6-12 months of people just walking through these doors, curious. Oftentimes people with little to no church background, but they're wondering, are there answers here? What's out there? And it's not like there are thousands of people just flooding in these doors, but there has been, as I said, a noticeable uptick in those types of people that are coming in asking questions. I believe that it is happening. The tide is turning. But also the seed is powerful. And by seed, we mean the message of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, the word of God. There's something extremely powerful there. And Perry described that power in week 2. And he tried to just lay out the gospel itself clearly so that we could understand what this message is and recognize how amazing it is and the power in it. So the soil is softening and the seed is powerful. Given those things, though, there should be a response where we, those of us that have received that message, should speak it. And there should be a sowing of seeds in our world. And really, we're taking the last 3 weeks of this message or this series to talk about that. And last week, Travis again shared with us about how we're all harvesters. Okay, this is not just the job of a few select people with formal titles, but we are all part of this commission. And we all have a role, and we can all speak. This week, we're going to be talking about some of the, really the practicals of taking action and some of the attitudes and perspectives that we might have in order to motivate us to sow seeds. And then next week, John is going to talk about really what we would call discipleship, that this is not just a one-time moment where we sow a seed. No, it's actually the cultivation of a process where we are caring for plants as they grow. And so there is what we call evangelism. There is also what we call discipleship, and there's a lot of overlap there. So that's our series. That's where we're at. And so this morning, we're going to talk about taking action, and specifically taking action with these three things: boldness, persistence, and preparedness. And so we'll start with boldness, just like those that early church spoke with boldness as the Spirit filled them. Let's talk about that for a moment. After all, it does take a bold initiative to speak to someone who may or may not be open to hearing. We are risking something. When we open our mouths about Jesus, there is a risk. There is a risk of losing something. Could be the risk of losing relationship. That's often the case where we wonder, is this going to make waves in a relationship that I have with somebody? Sometimes it's the loss of reputation. Am I going to look foolish in front of people if I open my mouth and start talking about Jesus? So there is a risk, but we have reasons to take that risk. And I want to draw that out a little bit. We have reasons for boldness, and I'm just going to go back to our first two statements. The soil is softening, and the seed is powerful. And that first one, we might ask, well, why? Why is the soil softening? What is going on here? What are the reasons behind it? And I think there are probably a number of reasons, but let me highlight two possibilities. Number one, God is moving. And sometimes God, in his mysterious ways that we don't fully comprehend, does something unique. He just does something in a special way. And we don't know everything that goes into that in his great wisdom, but sometimes God just moves, and I have to assume that God is moving, which of course creates a courage in me If God is actually working, he is intentionally doing something, that obviously stirs boldness in us. But secondly, people are starving for meaning and direction. And I think this is very true. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. Where 20 years of the new atheism and pretty extreme secularism has left people wanting. And a COVID pandemic 5 years ago, it only exacerbated what I would say is an even more dangerous pandemic, one that is characterized by loneliness and depression and anxiety and a lack of a sense of meaning. And that has come to the surface more and more. And people are recognizing that what was promised them from a secular world did not satisfy. Hey, those promises weren't met, and there's this wondering, is there something else? Is there some meaning out there? And I think that's true of much of our world. And yet, I would also say that somebody who is hungry, they're starving for meaning, they may be unlikely to find it on their own. They may be unlikely to figure out just where that meaning is without somebody initiating and saying, here it is. So God is moving and people are starving for meaning and direction, and that should motivate us when we recognize that. But secondly, the seed is powerful. And what I want to highlight here, again, is that the seed, the word, the gospel, the message, it does the work. It's what does the work. And let me try to draw that out by sharing just a whole bunch of verses here. I want to describe how the Bible speaks about the gospel or the word. The gospel or word is not just content. It's not just information. It's not just facts. It is news. It is that. But it's something more. When we look at just how the Bible describes the gospel, it describes it, for one, as power. It's sort of interesting that repeatedly the gospel is described as power. Romans 1:16, not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. 1 Corinthians 1, word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, it's in power that the gospel came to you. So it is power. It's more than content, it's power. Secondly, we could describe it as what I'll just call an active agent. Okay, the gospel is an active agent. It does something. It's the subject. Okay, and this, again, it's just interesting how the Bible, especially in Paul's writings, how the gospel or the word is described. Acts 12, the word of God increased and multiplied. 1 Corinthians 14, was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? He's not talking about us coming to you with the word. He's talking about how the word came to you. And that just, I think, is different. Colossians 1, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. A couple more, 1 Thessalonians 1, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, or 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. And this is just how the Bible talks about itself, about the word, about the gospel, that it is the active agent. And of course, that should motivate us as well. Yes, I'm a vessel. Yes, I speak these words. But when I speak these words, when I describe this message, it takes on a life of itself. It does the work. The word is almost personified throughout the Bible. It is living and active. It does something. It accomplishes. So the seed does the work. But secondly, it's not only powerful, but it's appealing because it's relief to a weary world. Because the gospel says, stop striving, Stop performing. Set aside the facade, that veneer that you've so carefully crafted to make yourself look a certain way. Receive free acceptance and unconditional love. That's what the gospel says, and that is appealing. That's desirable. If you can see it, so we have blinders on our eyes, and sometimes we don't see it, but when we see the gospel for what it is incredibly appealing, and that should motivate us. This is what Jesus says. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he's appealing to. He's saying, come. You'll find rest here with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, this is relief to a weary, weary world. And you know, I think our world may be especially weary after this last week. Really, in the last week or two, seen, I think much of our world saw even two brutal, violent murders. One of Irina Zarutska and one of Charlie Kirk. And of course, we have seen thousands of brutal murders depicted through our cinema. But in the back of our minds, we always knew they weren't real. I think when we see things and we know they're real and they demonstrate such unspeakable brutality and evil, of course it rattles and overwhelms and leaves us with this sick feeling in our stomachs. And this week we've seen a little more clearly that the world is a violent, evil, confusing place. And there should be a variety of responses there. There should be grief, of course. There should be anger. But also a greater sense of urgency to bring relief to a weary world. A world who's maybe experiencing or understanding that weariness a little more clearly right now. There should be an urgency and an expectation. And it's loving to initiate in pointing a hungry world to food. Okay, we should be eager and bold in doing that, recognizing that, yes, it's risky. Yes, I could lose something, but what could be gained for that weary world is much greater than what I could lose. And so I should open my mouth. I should say, here's where food is. You're starving, you're groping around in the dark. I know where food is. And it's a loving thing to do. In addition to that, we know as we speak, as we take steps, God supports and encourages and comforts and strengthens. I really appreciate what Jesus said to Paul in Acts chapter 18. He appeared to Paul in a vision. Paul had come to Corinth, and Corinth was a hard place to speak about Jesus. But he had begun, but there was opposition. So one night, Jesus appears to Paul. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And God came and he reminded them, there are people here, and they're in need, and they're weary, and they're broken, and I'm here with you, so keep speaking. Continue to be bold, to be courageous. And God does that kind of thing, I think, to each of us as well. Maybe not in a clear vision, just like Paul experienced, but he comforts and reminds and strengthens and says, keep going. I have people here around you. And so we should be bold. But that also takes us to our next point, really verse 11 in that passage. God encouraged Paul, and he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So he persisted. He was strengthened, and he was bold, but then he endured, and he continued bringing this love and this message to this people. And when we step out courageously and we open our mouths and we speak about this wonderful message to a weary world, sometimes there is an incredible response and it's so encouraging, but oftentimes there is not. Oftentimes people reject. Sometimes there's hostility, opposition. Sometimes we just don't see anything happening. And we speak and nothing seems to happen. And it's very easy to say, I think I'm done with that. Nothing really happens. And sometimes it goes poorly for me. But I think there's a heart of God that persists. And certainly there are times, like when Jesus instructed his disciples, if the city is not receiving this message, wipe the dust off of your feet and turn and go elsewhere. And certainly there are times where that should happen. But I do think it's important to embrace what I believe is the heart of God. And the heart of God is one of persistence and patience and steadfast love. And let me illustrate that through this passage. Jesus tells this parable in Luke 13, I think describing the heart of God. He told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, the vine dresser, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. And this is the heart of God. I think to push beyond what would be normal, what would be expected. Okay, it would have been perfectly appropriate for this tree to be cut down. It had been 3 years and nothing had happened. But the heart of God says, let's give it a little more time. Let me really try to work on this, and then let's see. So the heart of God endures, it persists, it is patient. And to draw that out a little bit more, I wanted us to hear a story of persistence. And to tell that story, I'm going to invite my friend Gloria Aragon up here. I'm going to move this. And Gloria has been friend of my wife and I for close to 20 years now. It's a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. But Gloria has, we've seen in those 20 years, we've seen you persist in faith related to a particular relationship that's been important to you. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to have her share with you about that. And so I'm going to ask Gloria a few questions, and she's going to tell the story. And so first, Gloria, you... So first of all, when did you start coming to Summit View here?
A long time ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
Probably my freshman year or my sophomore year of college.
Okay.
I think that's like 2002.
Okay, so about then. And tell me, when did you become a Christian?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in the church, going to church, and I got saved at age 14. I made a conscious decision and got baptized.
Okay.
Through my Japanese church in Hawaii.
Yeah, so you grew up in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay, and so your parents had moved to Hawaii from Japan.
Yep.
And so you were going to a Japanese church. And your mom had become a Christian prior to that, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. She was the first one to be saved in our family. And she got saved probably when my brother and I were pretty young.
Uh-huh.
And she really wanted us kids to grow up in the church.
Okay.
And so a unique story is that my mom was really committed to her local church, but they didn't have any Japanese children's ministry there. And so every Sunday we'd actually go to a different church than my mom, and with family friends. And at that church, there was a Japanese children's ministry. And I learned the Bible in Japanese, and that was very important to my mom for us kids to know the Bible in Japanese.
Okay, so you and your brother were dropped off at this church. You grew up going there, and somewhere in your teen years, the both of you came to Christ.
Correct.
What about your dad through this time?
Yes. So my dad was pretty indifferent. He was the only one not saved in our family. And he, you know, he wasn't like blatantly against the gospel. Like we would pray at the dinner table and he would give us kids rides to church. And he even allowed my mom to be really involved with her church. So I think he was like, that's good for you. But, you know, and we would invite him to church. But he just was not interested at all.
Okay. So not an outright hostility, but there certainly wasn't anything that seemed to be going on
right.
with him.
Yeah.
And he may drop you off at church, but he'd do his own thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so as time went on, of course, you came to faith in your teen
yep.
years, but the years went on. How would it go in just trying to engage with your dad about faith?
Absolutely. So we at the dinner table, we would try to evangelize to our dad, you know, kind of collectively, even gang up, I would say sometimes. And we really quickly learned that the harder we pushed in talking about the gospel, the harder his heart got. And so we were like, okay, not a good tactic at all about that. And so we really just learned to talk about God in our lives. And there were just miracles that were happening in our family's lives, in my brother's life, in my life, coming to college, and things like that. And so really just sharing about that and how we believed that God was in the situation.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's great. So you obviously had a heart for, you loved your dad. You wanted him to have what you had found.
Yeah.
And probably initially you were trying to share that and do it clearly, mm-hmm. but you'd run into resistance there.
Absolutely.
And you would recognize that perhaps hardness in his own heart. And so maybe
sure.
you'd redirect or you'd mm-hmm. change your approach some, mm-hmm. but it sounds like you ended up just trying to be pretty free and open with your Christian faith
yeah.
and how God was working in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And prayed for him
a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So prayed for him for decades while trying again to be open.
Yeah.
And over those decades, did you see much movement in him?
Not too much.
Yeah.
and sometimes he, like when friends would talk to him, he'd just be like, I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Like, just stop talking.
Okay.
How about the gospel?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So decades of that.
Yeah.
Consistent prayers.
Yep. Decades of prayers.
Decades of prayers. And were there times where you just get discouraged?
Absolutely. I mean, there were seasons where I gave up and believed for a time that it's impossible for God to save my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, which I appreciate you acknowledging that because
yeah.
I think we've all been there.
Uh-huh.
We say, I don't think something can happen in this life. Okay, so what can you now describe what has happened just in the last few months to a year?
Yeah, so my dad actually had a stroke in January, and that really limited his physical ability. And he's the primary caretaker for my mom, who has severe Alzheimer's. And I think at that time, he also started going to a Bible study. My mom's pastor had a Bible study. And I think that pastor really invested a lot of time with my dad. And he's an Uber driver, and so also drove my dad to all his appointments because my dad couldn't drive. And my dad really respected this man. Fast forward, we decided that my parents would move to California to be closer to my brother for care, and he really did not like California. So he actually independently moved himself without his wife back to Hawaii and without any support. And I think at that time, he was pretty desperate, and he had, I'm pretty sure, his first prayers to God of asking help and support to get back to Hawaii. And God answered in miraculous ways through people. And my mom's church friends in Hawaii welcomed him back with open arms, taught him how to use the bus system, meals, invited him to church. And there at that church, he met a pastor, the Japanese pastor there, whose parents are actually from the small town that my dad grew up in Japan. And that really impacted my dad's heart. And he was so surprised by that, touched by everybody's care and support, that he is committed to that church, goes to church every week. And he says that he's a Christian now, which is crazy. He reads his Bible now, which is also very crazy. And he wants to get baptized in November and December.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. How old is your dad?
He's 79.
79. How old was the Uber driver pastor?
He was 80 years old. He's an amazing man.
Right. Yeah, and what, so this is a very recent thing.
Correct.
It seems like your dad came to a genuine faith. What have you recognized in him since then?
Yeah, we actually recently went to visit him, and his heart is so humble. I'm like, who are you? He's praying every single day desperately and recognizes that he has no control over the future, and only God knows, and that we all need to rely on God. And so there's this beautiful tenderness and humility that I've never seen in my dad before. And it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's amazing. So just to recap a little bit. Yeah. Again, you came to Christ when you were young.
Yep.
Your mom came to Christ just a little before that. Your dad was very resistant.
Yeah.
And you, for decades, prayed for your dad, tried to talk to him in various ways. Sometimes that went well. Sometimes, maybe more often than not, it didn't go well. He would show almost no signs there. And your expectation there would certainly ebb and flow.
Yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But in time, God brought other people to help minister to your dad.
Yeah.
There were circumstances that hit him where he recognized his lack, and he recognized his need for something beyond himself.
Yeah.
And then all these things came together, and then he came to faith.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing genuine fruit in his life after
That's literally true.
Decades of prayer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is a phenomenal story, and I think yeah, absolutely. And my hope is that it is a story that stirs faith for many of us, many of us who have perhaps been persisting in certain relationships, perhaps for years and even decades, and have seen little to no progress. And to believe that God can still move, even when it feels like the concrete is set and concrete can't soften, but God can soften it.
Even in an old Asian man's heart.
That's right. Even at 79 years old, that can happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Gloria. I appreciate
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so again, I hope that does stir our faith, that God can accomplish, and as we persist in faith, even when we do it very imperfectly, and we all do it imperfectly, God still moves, and we can be bold and we can be courageous, and yet that is also going to need persistence. But thirdly, I wanted to talk about preparedness. And by this, I just mean intention and thoughtfulness and even strategy, like considering how do I go about this? And what would be good steps to take? And what do I need to know and understand? And even what kinds of words and phrases do I use? And all of this kind of thing. And I wanted to read a passage in Colossians chapter 4. This is a very familiar passage to many of us. I think there's so much in here. It's really, really rich. But what I wanted to draw out here is I think it implies a lot of intention and purposefulness in the way that we speak to others. Let me read it. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And I think we see several things in this passage that imply preparedness or intention. First of all, there's just prayer, and he's inviting prayer. Okay, this is one of the prayer requests that Paul makes in his writings, and he's asking the Colossians to pray for him. And pray specifically that there would be an open door, there'd be an opening, there'd be an opportunity, and that also he would, when he speaks, it would be clear. So clarity is something that's important. Okay, and so that implies that, yes, I should be prayerful, and I should also consider how to clearly explain this message. Also to walk in wisdom. So there's a wisdom that is to be utilized and to make the best use of the time. And then to always have your speech be gracious. It should be full of grace. It should be characterized by grace, but also seasoned with salt. Just seasoning in their truth here and there as there is opportunity to be ready to do that, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So there is a purposefulness, an intention, a preparedness that we are to have. Now, I could spend some time here just talking through some of the specifics. Okay, what kinds of words should I use? Is there a good way to enter into a conversation? And I could go through a lot of that kind of thing, but I don't want to do that. Instead, I want to invite you to a handful of upcoming events through which I think we can grow in our preparedness. Okay? So as we go through this series, this plentiful series, and we also walk in a handful of other efforts here this fall, we are trying to cultivate this kind of evangelistic heart, where we are willing and able to speak of Jesus. And so I wanted to highlight a few things that are upcoming that we'd love to invite you to participate in, and here they are. Number one, just a couple opportunities for what we're calling street evangelism, or sometimes we call it cold turkey evangelism. This is simply perhaps on the street walking up to people and asking to pray for them. And if the opportunity is there to engage in conversation with them about Jesus. And so we're going to have a couple afternoons where we're inviting anybody that would like to do that. And so we have a handful of people in our church that I think really have a heart for that and do that kind of thing more regularly. And they're going to equip us a little bit, describe how to go about it, and then offer to partner with people as they go out. So it's a couple afternoons, as I said. And it's this coming Saturday is the first one, and so we'd meet at 1, again, get pray together, get some pointers, and then partner up and go out to various places in the city and the community here. So there's that. Secondly, night of prayer, mentioned a couple times, just how much prayer must be involved in seeds being scattered. Now, we have a prayer meeting every Sunday morning here from 8:30 to 9:15 upstairs, and so you're welcome to join us for that as we pray for our world every Sunday morning. But we'll have a special night of prayer next Sunday, a week from today. We're going to take the evening from 7 to 9, and we're going to pray specifically for the plentiful harvest. And so join us for that. Then we will have another leadership connection on Tuesday, September 23rd. from 7 to 8:30. These are regular meetings that we have each fall and spring semester where we invite especially those that may have some sort of leadership position in the church, and we come together and we get on the same page and get envisioned and equipped in different areas. But we are inviting anybody and everybody to join us for these times, and the next one is again Tuesday, September 23rd, and during this time we will continue to talk about some of those practicals for being prepared. Okay, so we're going to do that. Please join us for that. And then finally, 3-2-1. And I want to explain this a little bit. This is going to be happening each Tuesday in October. So for 4 weeks, we're going to meet here. We're going to at least start out right here in the lobby, and we're going to go through this sort of course called 3-2-1. And I want to play a quick promo video for that. So let's cue that up.
Picture this.
So what this is, it's basically a gospel presentation. It's really going through the message of Jesus, that message that is so powerful. And it's done through a series of 8 short videos presented by Glenn Scrivener, who you just saw there. And 8 short videos, about 10 to 12 minutes each. And so for these 4 Tuesdays, we're going to show 2 videos each week. And after watching those, we're going to have an opportunity for discussion, both large group and smaller groups, to talk through the gospel. Okay? This is an opportunity for us corporately to come together, and really, this is not necessarily an evangelistic training type course. Instead, this is a gospel presentation to invite others to, and for anybody who perhaps is wondering about Jesus, perhaps has not come to a faith yet, or maybe is just new in their faith, this I think is excellent. I think he takes us through the gospel in a really compelling way. So I would first invite any of you here that you're just still kind of wondering about who Jesus is and what he means for your life, how he might impact your life, I would love for you to join us on these Tuesdays. Again, I think it will help you to understand Jesus and Christianity well over the course of 4 weeks. But I'd also encourage all the rest of you just to invite friends to this. And we have, first of all, a page on our website, someofyou.com/3-2-1. You can go there. It explains a little bit more of what we're doing. We also have these yellow flyers out there. They're kind of scattered around the lobby here this morning. And so there are several stacks at various places in the lobby. Grab a couple of those and consider who you might give one to. And it's just, again, it has an explanation. It also has a QR code that'll take them to our page here. And be considering over these next 3 weeks who you might invite to 3-2-1. And you'll see the schedule there. It explains this more on that page. But the first week, those first 2 videos are just an introduction to Jesus and helping us understand that Jesus changed our world in radical ways, and we must confront the question of who he is. And then we're talking about God's threeness, really the Trinity. And this seems like maybe an unusual way to start a gospel presentation, but I think it's really compelling when we understand that God is a loving union of three, and that the very, very foundation of reality is love. That matters, actually. That really changes the way that we see the world. And then we talk about the world's two-ness. The world is a certain way, but we know it should be a different way. And that's the same is true within us, each individual. Like we're kind of broken, and we're going in different directions, and we'll talk through that. And then our oneness, that we can be one with God. So there's 3-2-1. And again, We'll share more about it, but be thinking about who you could invite to that. I think it's going to be a powerful time. So, the soil is softening, the seed is powerful, therefore sow seeds. That's what we're trying to embrace this fall and to be motivated to sow seeds, because they are powerful, especially to a broken and lost world. But you know, another motivation to speak, to be bold, to persist with this, is simple gratitude. Simple gratitude when we recognize the love that we've been given. As it says in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. And so much of the foundation of evangelism is just embracing that love. And one of the ways that we remind ourselves of that love is through communion, through the breaking of bread. And we're going to do that now. And let me read this description of what Jesus instituted just before he died. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord," this is Paul speaking, "what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so there are a few things that stand out. This is, of course, to be done in remembrance, implying that remembrance is really important. This was something to be done regularly so that it would jog our memories and we would understand that Jesus was broken for us. His body was broken. He poured out his blood. And we take the bread and the cup and we remember that. We soak in it, and we're refreshed in it, that his love was willing to go that far, all the way to death, so that we wouldn't have to go all the way to death, and we could live eternally. So we're going to break bread together right now, and we're going to remember the death of Jesus, to be refreshed in his love. And just a few details how we do this. Obviously, you'll see the elements down here on these tables. And we split the auditorium in half, and each side will go outside, go towards the wall, and then you can come down and grab the bread and the cup, and then return on the other side of your pew back to your seat. And so we're gonna begin that now, and once you get back to your seat, you can just take a moment yourself and just reflect. Again, we're just to remember what Jesus did. So reflect on his death and resurrection and proclaim that even to yourself. And then after a time, the band is going to lead us in one final worship song. If you need a gluten-free option, they are available down here. We would encourage you, if you have not yet come to faith, perhaps to refrain from this right now. This is for those that have placed their faith in Jesus as a way to remember what he did personally for each one of us. But of course, this can always be an opportunity to declare that faith for the first time and to say, yes, I've come to the point where I want to believe, and I'm placing my faith in Jesus, and this will be the first act of that faith. All right, well, let's begin. So those in the front rows, you can leave to the outside and come down and then reflect on what Jesus has done.